Good morning, everybody. Are we ready to worship? Yay! We're going to continue our journey through Jesus' farewell discourse. And as we have these 40 days of remembrance, reflection, and repentance, as we try to get a grip as believers that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit and what difference it should make in our lives. And throughout these weeks that I've been preaching, can't promise that Anthony will give you one next week, but I've been giving you acronyms to help you think about what Lent is all about. And so we've had let go, empty self, notice needs of others and transform. Let's eliminate negative thinking, love every neighbor truly. And today is leave every negative thing. It's very close to let's eliminate negative thinking, but it's leave every negative thing, which ties in, I think, nicely with the passage that we studied at Lent study on Friday, that Jesus is the true vine and that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to think about, through the Holy Spirit, how we can bear fruit to God's glory. So as we prepare our hearts, God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us that we may abide in you and live in your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And as we think about Jesus' farewell discourse, we remember that he was giving his disciples words of comfort, words of reassurance, and words of encouragement. And so we'll sing number 59, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we greet you once again in this sacred space, your house, this place of peace, as we bring our worship to you. Beauty of this new day, we have come because we need to be reminded of your love and your expectations for our living. Beauty of creation, we are like the vine you planted, watered and protected. We know in our hearts that we need, want and desire your presence in our lives. So we come in prayer and listen for your word to speak to our hearts and reveal again your desires for us. Jesus Christ, the true vine, in our need we come to you, in weakness needing your strength, for we are too easily becoming dry and lifeless without your life-giving spirit. Jesus, the true vine, teach us to remain in you, so that we would find your life flowing in us, giving strength and vigor to our discipleship. As we desire to come closer to you, our lives are then drawn closer to others. Lord, as we come into this place of peace, our minds turn to the images of violence that we have seen on the news, in places of fear and terror, to where people are in disagreement over land and power, race and religion. Lord, we pray for those places that are affected. We pray for the people that are displaced, for those who have lost loved ones. Lord, our thoughts turn to Christians living with persecution, who face danger simply for being linked to you. Father, we pray that you would prune back all that stands in the way of peace. And Lord, as we've been thinking about those places filled with war and horror, our thoughts turn to people in leadership and power, those who make the decisions. Lord, we just pray that you would just show them another way, your way of peace. That, Lord, we ask for a miracle, that you would change hearts. We know, Lord, in our own eyes that what we are asking is massive. But you are the God of miracles. And we pray with all our hearts for change in our world. Lord, we pray for those who make decisions over the economy, for people whose jobs and livelihoods will be affected. We pray for our nation and its leaders. May changes and choices be shaped by the value of your kingdom. Lord, our hearts are turned to people in need in our own church and community. Wherever hearts are breaking, bodies are failing, minds are confused, families are disrupted. Lord, come with your help and healing. And Lord, as we gather as your church here today, we give thanks for the saints of the past and for the fruit that they have borne in our community and beyond. Like them, Lord, help us to remain in you, that we may be fruitful and bring glory to your name. Through Jesus Christ, the true vine, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, our advocate and comforter. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And as we come to worship, we too can testify to God's faithfulness in our lives. So we'll sing number 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
So as we continue in the area that we've been, if you've left your bookmark in the Bible, then you'll know where we are. But leading up to the text that we have this morning, Jesus has been preaching about his status as the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the night before Christ will be crucified. Judas has already gone to betray Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples have just departed the upper room where they shared the Last Supper. As they walk, the Lord refers to two metaphorical groups, branches that bear fruit and those that don't. And so I'll ask Dot if she'll come and give us our reading.
We're reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and it's on page 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen.
It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? And I'm sure for those that are picture learners, you can probably visualize that as it was being read to us. It was good to look at it again on Friday at our Lent study. I've preached on it a couple of times whilst I've been here, concentrating on abiding in Jesus and about it all being about the fruit. And when we think about the word abide, I think that's a lovely word. We don't use it enough, do we? We talk about remaining and we talk about staying, but we don't talk about abiding. So see how many times this week you're going to get abiding into a conversation. So one of those bingo games, isn't it? You play at meetings, you know, if you get it in, you can cross it off on your list. But, you know, it's such a lovely word as we think about how God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, dwells in each one of us who calls ourselves disciples. But also, as always, with Jesus' words, there is a challenge. And so, you know, as we look today, we'll think about, do we accept the challenge that Jesus is giving? How do we respond to our current distractions, losses and uncertainties? Where and who do we turn to for support and encouragement, for comfort and hope? In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks intimately and lovingly to his friends, knowing that they will soon be separated from him. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, he tells them, that expression of deep commitment and intimate communion. So as we think about the challenge of the passage in a moment, the purpose of this abiding is to make us fruitful. There is work to be done, and Jesus tells us that we're incapable of doing it in our own strength. Hallelujah for that. For this reason, we need to be joined to him and to his strength. Without him, we can do nothing. And so we prepare our hearts to hear God's word to us as we sing 1000, King of Kings, Majesty. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open our hearts and minds and that you work on our hearts so that we understand and obey the truths that the Father has shared through his word, through Jesus, and the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. Amen. So I've headed up this morning. The purpose of pruning is to make you more fruity. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, more fruity had a different meaning. So are you ready to be made into fruit this morning? Yes. It's good, isn't it? We're all different shapes and sizes, so you can pick your own. When I was walking with a friend last week, we spotted some Christmas trees that had had their bottom branches chopped off and pruned off so severely that only the tops of the trees remained. It looked strange. However, we soon realized that this had been done in the hope of actually saving the trees, as some of their unfortunate neighbors had already perished. In our untrained eyes, these trees had undergone this severe pruning. They were looked ruined, unfit for purpose. But for the experienced one who had facilitated the cutting and the pruning, well, he or she saw potential still in that tree. Because remember, It's not always what we see on the top. It's where the roots are going underneath. I do hope that when I return to check on these, as I called them, bald trees, I see them restored to full health and beauty and fit for purpose once again. Because it is a living thing. It is being shaped for a purpose. And I'm sure with the expert care of the ones who are looking after it, it will again flourish. Makes me think about us. Sometimes we just need to shift our focus, not from what we see in the moment, but to the bigger picture, which takes time and patience, and often a little pain as it grows. I believe that's what Jesus is saying and doing in today's gospel. I think that's how Jesus sees and knows and loves each one of us. Sometimes our lives need reshaping. Some branches need to be removed. Others need to be pruned. Both are necessary, and it's not necessarily what it looks like. If we profess to be a Christian, then people should be able to look for and find fruit in our lives. As I've said before, and I think I said last week, it's not necessarily what we say, it's what we do and how we behave. Why is that? Jesus says, because a disciple of him will produce spiritual fruit. He says in verse 8, my true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. He also said in Matthew's Gospel, by their fruits you will know them. The purpose of all that cutting is to be fruitful, to grow and to flourish, to be more fully alive and become more fully ourselves, the person that God wants us to be. Isn't that what you want for yourselves? Oh, I should just check in that you're still there. Isn't that what we want for others? And isn't it what we want for our community and for our world? And, you know, as I prayed earlier, our hearts are saddened. Just imagine what God is thinking at the moment. But in Jesus' focus in our gospel reading this morning, 6 times he speaks about bearing fruit. That's why I reflected on today's Lent chat. I called it, as I said, the purpose of pruning is to make us more fruity. That we learn how we can bear fruit for God's glory. We don't get to choose whether or not we produce fruit. We do, however, choose where we abide and how and with whom that we stay connected. Bearing fruit is the natural consequence of being deeply connected to and abiding in something greater than and beyond ourselves. It's a sign of health and well-being. Fruitfulness, however, is not the same as productivity. Every time I write that word, I get a shudder when I used to think about work and productivity. Fruitfulness is about flourishing. Productivity is about success and accomplishment. Productivity is about quantity, whereas fruitfulness is about quality of life. That's why when I started here all those years ago, I know, I explained to the pastor's committee then that I was more interested in spiritual growth than physical growth. Bums on seats won't change our community unless they are following and full of God's Holy Spirit. Productivity measures value. Fruitfulness has and expresses characteristics like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness. And I love the way that Paul leaves self-control to the end. We would know those as the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul writes to the church at Galatia. This is what Jesus means when he says in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Fruitfulness is more about a way of being than something that we do. Productivity is about tasks and strategies. I remember somebody asking me once, "What is my 5-year plan for the church?" I said, "I'm not giving God a 5-year plan. If God wants to change it next week, he will." In God's world, we focus on vision, on what God is doing with us. Our fruitfulness is connected to our connectedness and our relationship with God, with one another, and with others. Now, I don't know if any of that made any sense to you, but can you see the fruitfulness in your own lives? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be productive or that fruitfulness is better, they're just different, and we need them both in balance. So I sometimes wonder if some of our exhaustion and burnout, our divisions and conflicts, our lack of meaning and sense of belonging may come from prioritizing productivity over fruitfulness. What would a fruitful life mean in look like for us today, individually and as a church? Which parts of our lives are bearing fruit and which ones are not? What about our relationships and our friendships? Do you see fruit in those? Are our efforts, our activities bearing fruit? And as we're in Lent, how about our prayer life? Are we becoming the person we, or more importantly, God wants us to be? Are we flourishing or are we dying on the vine? None of that is about making a judgment of good or bad. As we reflect on Jesus' words, it's about making a diagnosis of healthy or unhealthy, connected or disconnected. And that's positive. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Take that step back and have a look and have a think with the help of the Holy Spirit. It helps us to know what needs to be pruned and what needs to be removed. Guides us in reshaping our lives. Remembering the purpose of pruning is to make us what? More fruity. Believe it or not, every time I wrote more fruity, the words check kept saying, "That's not words. You can't use that." Kept changing it to fruitier. Personally, I like more fruity. So let's look at the parts of our lives that are bearing fruit. How can we cultivate, strengthen, and encourage that? What needs pruning and how do we go about it? Are we tending and caring for the fruit-bearing branches of our lives? If so, how? And if not, why? What would it take to start? Now, I'm not an expert gardener. I know there are those amongst you that are much more expert than I am. But I do enjoy a well-presented garden. So that's why I like going to many National Trust properties, because mostly they are well presented. But I observe the gardeners as they dig and they weed and they cut back. As we shared on Friday, if you've ever visited a vineyard, you will notice the grapevines. After they've borne their fruit, they are cut back again so severely. As I was doing a bit of research, it says that actually they can remove up to 80 or 90%. That's somebody saying, "No, Sharon, you're wrong." That's not what they say. Can you imagine 80 or 90% being removed? You know, sometimes when I've got bushes at the bottom of the garden, I give them such a severe haircut, I think I've murdered them. Never going to see them again. And then, like this year, they started to blossom, and it's beautiful. But as we're told, primarily it's to manage their extreme vigor, to ensure that this yield, this year, will be high quality, and also to maintain plant health. So good vine dressers give little attention to the fruit and most of their attention to the vines, the branches, and the soil. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we would be more interested in what's actually growing on it, you know, and when can I pick it and when can I eat it? But the actual professionals, they know that these three things are doing well. The grapes will too, because grapes only produce fruit on a one-year cycle and on new shoots only. So when you look next time, have a look and see what they're actually growing on. You'll see that it's the new shoots of the season. So that aggressive pruning is necessary to force the vine to grow new productive canes rather than wasting energy on excessive tangled foliage. I like that idea of improved fruit quality and yield. It kind of speaks into the passage today, doesn't it? It's where we concentrate our own energy. If you think about unproductive or unpruned vines, there's too many clusters and the grapes get all, you know when you buy some grapes sometimes in the supermarket and they look delicious and then you eat them and you're like, bleh. They're a little bit sour sometimes, aren't they? And you think, well, now I'm going to think, well, you didn't prune them properly, did you? Obviously, not Mr. Tesco or shops of your choice. And also that it prevents overproduction because, you know, sometimes if it's everything's too much, everything sort of sags, doesn't it, and falls away. Before I get over-enthusiastic in the art of viticulture, back to the passage. That's what vine dressing's called, by the way. To what are we giving our attention these days? What are the practices, the values, and the prayers that support and nourish bearing fruit in our lives today? Lent gives us the permission, as I've been saying, to spend time with the three R's: reflection, repentance, and reconciliation, which we practice through prayer and fasting and giving. Which parts of our lives are not bearing fruit? What attitudes, beliefs, or thought patterns are no longer life-giving for us or others? And what would it take to remove and let go of them? Remember our acronym, let go, empty self, notice needs of others, transform. What's getting in the way of the life we want to live and the person that we want to be? What keeps us isolated and disconnected from others and from God? What prevents us from flourishing? And don't sit there and say, I'm too old for all of this. Because if you go and look at lots of, particularly the olive ones, they're all gnarly and, you know, all creased up and whatever. I'm not saying that you guys are gnarly and all creased up and whatever, but, you know, you get the picture. You can still be pruned. Maybe there are some branches in the tree of our lives that need to be removed. What would it take? How would we do that? Who can help us with that? I pray that when we see trees and bushes and vines severely pruned, that we remember that it's done to encourage growth and health and fruit yield. That when we go through a time of pruning, that God is with us and he does it right for our own good and for his purposes. Remember, Jesus said, so that the glory will go back to the Father. We have a choice as individuals and as a church community. It's a choice to reshape life and flourish or continue to live that misshapen life. so encourage each one of us to look at the tree of our life today. Potentially, even as I've been speaking, you probably know what needs to go. Most of us have a pretty good idea of what needs pruning and what actually needs to be removed. We felt their weight sagging our lives. We exhausted ourselves as we carry dead wood around with us. What in our lives needs reshaping? Do we want our tree, our life, to be right? Do we want to flourish? As I said, it's never too late. If abiding in Jesus involves ongoing daily dependence on him, what does that look like? Jesus tells us we abide in him by letting his word abide in us and by abiding in his love. It means keeping the words of Jesus in our hearts and minds so that they are renewing and reviving us, shaping us and purifying us, filling and forming us. And it means keeping ourselves in his infinite, enduring, life-giving love. Amen. And so we pray. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love, in your holy name. And if you agree, we say, Amen. Amen. And as we think about the commitment to God's word, let's join together as we sing number 302. I want to walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Let's pray. May Christ, the risen Saviour, abide always in our hearts. May we remain united to Christ and to one another, living in the warmth of the Holy Spirit. May we speak out boldly in the name of Christ. And may our compassionate God bless you and keep you. Amen.